Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we've been into the first part one of God Taught Me, the secret of spiritual defense, or spiritual power. Because without God's spiritual power, we can do no thing. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need to have the faith it takes to be able to have God's power operating in and through us. The Lord had his disciples in the schoolhouse, or in the schoolroom, and he was teaching them all sorts of the power that can be theirs and will be theirs by their faith in what he was teaching them. And then after that, he took them out into the laboratory, or the testing ground, so that they could see him prove to them the things that he said could be done by faith in the Word of God, and he did it. And there were four major things in the fourth and fifth chapter of the book of Mark that he did. And so he was teaching them a lot of things about how the Holy Spirit could dwell or wouldn't dwell in four different types of people. One of them are people where he sowed the seed, and it was sown on ground that was not able to receive the seed. It was by the wayside where it hadn't been tilled. That's one kind of people. Those are the unresponsive ones. And then it goes on and on and on to the... there's so many people in the world that are not responsive to the Word of God. But right now, we may get into part two of the God teaching me the secret of spiritual defense or power, and I want to teach that to you, the things that the Lord taught me. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Father, in the name of Jesus, to anoint this service. Lord, bring out the things that you want said. That will be easy if you do all the talking. Lord, use my tongue as a instrument to bring forth your word, and open up the hearts and the minds. We're all supposed to have the mind of Christ, because the Bible tells us that we are to be like Christ, and we cannot be like Christ, and we cannot follow Christ if we don't have the Spirit, the power. Your power, Father. So open up every mind to receive the power of God, which is through the Word, the seed, and open up every heart and soul to receive the Word, the seed, the power. Your Word is Spirit, and it is life, to receive your power, your life, and so that they, too, may be instruments that can be used as you were used, Jesus, and as you have used the disciples, and how you're using disciples in these last days in a very powerful way. So many people believe that it's that being a Christian is just going to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, and some people believe that it's being a Christian to go to church every day. But going to church is the place where we are to learn the power that is available to us, and all the other things that you provided for us through your word. We learn that, and then we are to go out into the world, or the lab, and prove to the people in the world that you, the power of God, Jesus, you, with the Father by the Spirit, are living in us, and that you're operating in us as well. Not only to bring forth the gospel, but to show that the gospel is true by the works that follow those that believe. And that is that we shall cast out devils, we shall preach the gospel, souls will be saved. We're to raise the dead, and to cleanse the lepers, heal those that are brokenhearted with your word, and to tear down strongholds. We use the only weapon available that is the most powerful weapon in the entire universe, and that is the double-edged sword, the Word of God. There isn't anything more powerful in the whole universe. The people over in these different foreign countries, our boys over in fighting this war that we have today, this is 2006 now, they're getting killed. There are hundreds of them that are being killed, so obviously they don't have the best weapon. The Bible states that there's no weapon formed. There's no weapon formed that can be against us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that can prevail against us because we have the Word. We have your Word in us, and we have your Word to defend the gospel with, and we have you in us. You are the Word. You are the Word. So therefore, you are our defense. You are our weapon. We have the spirit of you, and we have our spirit, and we worship you with our spirit. And we have your spirit, which is the same thing as a telephone line going up to your throne. And we can beseech you or ask you whatsoever we will, as long as it's in your will, and you'll do it for us. And Lord, we ask that you stop this war and that you bring about salvation to the world and let them realize that the wars are not won with the inferior weapons that they're using out there. Guns, bullets, bombs, and all these scientific warfares, gases and things. But the world will be saved only by the preaching of the Word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask you to tear down strongholds. Let the Spirit of the living God reach those that are lost and lift the church up. Let those that are lost be saved, and let the church be strengthened and lifted up on higher ground. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's read some letters here. First of all, we have a letter here from one of the people in our congregation, Brother Buster White. He was saved in a very supernatural way, and he has very supernatural experiences. And I'll tell you that there are attorneys and judges that are turning their lives over to the Lord because of Brother Buster. And the other night he introduced me to several, one judge, and said that several judges are constantly inquiring about our work and are wanting to come out here because one of the attorneys that comes to our church was in a automobile accident. It rolled over. It was like a Jeep or an all-terrain vehicle. Went into a pool of water and pinned him down below. And he had been coming to our church and remembered to pray to the Lord. And he just started thanking and praising the Lord. And the Jeep lifted right up off the top of him. And he was able to get out of there. And he attributes that for sure because of that which he had learned from our church through, and also mainly through Buster. All these judges in the town and the major attorneys in this town used to run in a sinful way with Buster, and they just couldn't believe that he was saved. They were all placing bets that he wouldn't last very long at all. Some of them said he wouldn't last 3 months, and they put up money bets, and some said, yeah, he won't last for 6 months, and some of them said he might at the most 9 months. But none of them believed that he would last a year. Well, it's 2.5 years now that he's been saved, and Buster's being used in a very mighty way. He actually is one brother that I can send to different cities that we have churches in. He's been out to Elizabeth, New Jersey. He's been to the Texarkana Church primarily, and then also to the church in Fort Smith, Arkansas. And this evening he's in the Los Angeles church with Brother Tommy. But anyway, this is the things that the code that he lives by, and he promised the Lord that he would do that. He saw a vision of two different worlds. One was heaven, where there's peace that passes all understanding. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of men the beautiful things that the Lord has laid away for those that love the Lord and keep His commandments. And then also there was this other world where he remembered when he was a young boy, he was in a slaughterhouse and heard pigs squealing and screaming when they knew that they were going to die because they put their hoof inside of a hook, and the hook pulls them up on a large wheel. I used to watch this myself in Billings, Montana at the Pierce Packing Company over there. I was a good friend of Mr. Pierce that ran the place when I was just a boy. And they would squeal, and then when they're upside down, they can't squeal at all. And then there's a man standing there with a big rubber apron on, and he slices their throat. And he saw this other world, which was human faces sticking outside of this world, and they were squealing just like those pigs. And he, the Lord spoke to him and says, which one of these worlds do you want to live in? He says, well, Lord, I've never been known for being stupid. He says, of course I'm going to choose the one that where it's peaceful and everything. I don't want to be like those pigs. And he was an animal lover, and he, you know, it just really got to him when he saw those pigs being slaughtered. And that was one thing. And so the Lord really put a lot of fear in Buster, because he gave an ultimatum unto him. He did to the Apostle Paul. He did to me as well. Either stand up and tell people in this world about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And he showed me I'd go to hell. And I've got a few marbles in my head, a few brains, in other words, and I don't want to go to hell. And I've been, this has kept me going for, and many other visions, for going on 42 years now in the gospel field. But anyway, let's hear this. This is a real good code that's kept Buster standing all this time. So let's hear what he has to say in this. He says this almost every other night in church, and he just keeps reminding us. The first thing he does in the morning is rehearse what the Lord had him promise. Go ahead.
Regarding obeying God, not man. As we talked the other night, I was fellowshipping with you about how the Lord has me going about His business, fearing Him and not man or the world. God's instructions to me on the day I received salvation were to 1. Read His word daily, 2. Pray continually, 3. Sin no more, and 4. To tell others of Him when the door is open to do so. After 8 months of coming to the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries and reading all of your tracts and newsletters, one night in prayer, God directed me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, which states, quote, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you, unquote.
It's unprofitable for you if you don't. Because, you know, when a person that really is of the Lord is telling you to do something, they're actually, it's actually God talking through their mouth, telling you what to do. And if you disobey that, then it isn't them that you're disobeying, it's the Almighty God. And then you can read in the Word that it tells you to do exactly that. And if you don't do that, then you're disobedient. And the Bible tells us that disobedience is the same as witchcraft. And so you are a witch if you don't obey the things, everything that the Lord tells you to do, even to the point of eating the things that the Lord tells you to eat, because you're the temple of God, and He doesn't want unclean things being eaten in, or put inside His temple. He doesn't want swine in there, or mice, or shellfish, or anything like that, because according to God, it's an abomination. You may ask, why does God make it? God put it there to clean the ocean floor. He put dogs, pigs, and things like that as scavengers to clean up the earth. And there's horses are not to be eaten, and bears are not to be eaten. And a lot of people say, well, I like bear meat. Well, yeah, I know, but the Lord says not to eat it. And because of the fact that people do, there's a lot of death. But finish off with Buster's letter here.
I realized immediately in reporting to you that my reports had to be in the spirit, truthful, and without respect of persons. No matter what might come against me, no human can stuff my soul in hell. Only God can do that. And if I say I love the souls of my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ and don't report things they may do that is out of the Spirit, then that would make me a liar, and no liar will enter the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord, Buster.
Right. Anyone that sees the satanic things going on in the church and they don't report it, they don't mind Satan. They don't hate Satan, as the Lord tells you to. He said, yeah, you can't love two masters. You can't serve two masters. You must serve one and hate the other. Now, either you're going to love the Lord and hate Satan and report Satan that's going on in the church, or else you're going to love Satan and let him just use the church of the Lord to do his evil works in and to destroy services and to destroy souls in the church. And as for me, I'm going to go after people that do that. If I see them continuously doing that, they cannot stay in my church. Now, they can go to any other church they want to, but they can't be in mine, because there's a lot of churches that will take anybody in and let them do whatever they want. But that isn't us. I want there to be one lighthouse on this earth that is strictly of the Lord. And if people don't like it, well, there you've got millions of other churches you could go to. But this is the lighthouse of the Lord. That's where it's going to stay. Do you have anything else?
Next letter?
Yeah.
It's from Kumba, Cameroon, Africa. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I salute you, your family, and all the Christian followers. I thank God for your life and ministry, and I know it will interest you to know how I happen to know you. As an educated young man with rich educational background, I was director of programs in the gospel radio in Kumba, Cameroon. God's enemies fought against the radio existence, and it was closed down. I happened to be jobless, coupled with my physical disability and Satan's temptation in my life. I one day decided to become a cult member so as to become rich, so as to meet up with my demands. On my way to the cult house, my eyes fell on a paper. Something struck me to pick up the paper. On picking up the paper, I fell unconscious, without knowing. I only discovered myself in the hospital, and beside my bed was the paper. I immediately claimed it. I heard somebody talk to me, saying, "Young man, I picked it up where you fell, knowing it was your paper." Passing my eyes on the paper, it was written, "Alamo Christian Ministries World Newsletter, Pastor Tony Alamo, World Reformation." The captivity sentence was hearing God's prompting. I immediately received my deliverance. I called to the doctor to discharge me. My parents refused, saying I was sick and that if I knew what had happened to me, I would not have asked for my discharge from the hospital. In the hospital, I fished five brethren, who after I had read hearing God's prompting to them, they decided to follow me. It was rumored everywhere that I was mad, since I took upon me preaching from door to door and town to town. Finally, I came up with a meeting or assembly ground, which consists of about 60 members. So kindly send us Bibles, literature, tapes, and other spiritual food. Also kindly send me the book, The Messiah. I also want to affiliate with your church. I have finally, after some 9 months Bible training, decided to become a preacher of the words, like the Bible says, go you to the world and preach the gospel. I have decided to come and stay beside you as my great teacher and mentor, and I am disposed to be a missionary if you want to teach me. My stress is how to transport myself because I have no financial means to raise and come over myself. I am Cameroonian, born the 18th of June, 1982. I obtained a degree in mass communication, but I have decided to throw it away and to obtain a degree in missionary work, so as to work in God's vineyard. I really, truly want to serve the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because I have found the truth from Alamo Christian Ministries World Newsletters, I want to come closer. I love your message, but how can I see you? What should I do? A son is born. The name of my father is Alamo's message, and my mother is my mind, who accepted the message and became pregnant with this golden message. So I have been spiritually baptized and given the name Prince Alamo Chibanga. Thank God for giving me a father and a mentor. My life is in your hands. It is written in John chapter 10, verse 10, He came that he may have life and have it abundantly. Mentor Alamo and his message is a gift from God for us who believe his message to have life and have it abundantly. A Lamo message is a simple and effective way of teaching the very deep truth. I came that they may have life. The life Jesus came to bring is not the same as the earthly life we received from our parents. The life that he gives us is, in fact, eternal life. Pastor Lamo's presence and message is timely because it's a season for us to be filled with the truth and nothing but the truth. I thank God for your presence. May God bless you. Since Jesus not only possesses life, but is life, he can give it abundantly in the same way as he gives the fullness of joy, John chapter 17, verse 13. God's gift is always without measure, as infinite and generous as God himself is. So is the message of Pastor Tony Lamo, which fills the deepest aspirations of the human heart, which hungers for a life that is full and unending. The message alone can satisfy our yearning for the infinite. By your spiritual son, Prince Chibanga. P.S. 4 months after this great miracle, my parents died in a ghastly motor accident, so I am a child without parents, but I have a spiritual father and mentor, Pastor Tony Lama.
All right, what this man said was very good. He says there's a hole or a hollow spot in every human being. It doesn't make any difference if you've got $50 or $100 billion. If you own the whole world, there's money will not fill that hole or that empty spot inside you. And it really doesn't make any difference how much money you've got or how broke you are. There's no possible way that you could feel fulfilled or that you have immortality until the Lord fills up that empty spot. That empty spot in you is the place that Lord, when he created human beings, it was a place for him to live. And he made us in his own likeness and his own image so that we could be, he could fit in us just like a hand fits inside of a glove. Okay, do you have another letter there?
Yes, from Ashanti, Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor in Christ, God is doing a lot through you in Ghana here. My non-denominational fellowship wants to take part in the sharing of your literature, Bibles, and cassettes. Indeed, I want to be a part of you and operate under you. Let me hear more from you if it would be possible to operate my fellowship under you or even make it your branch in Ghana here. Meanwhile, send us our request.
That's great. Anyone that wants to open a branch of this church in any foreign land, be our guest. If you really stick with the doctrine, the pure word of God, well, then we just thank and praise the Lord for you. Okay, that one?
In fact, a young boy in the fellowship admitted that he was suffering from a severe headache. A tumor was growing in his head. Doctors confirmed that he could get mental problems from it. But after reading your book, The Messiah, he is healed. Bye for now, and may the Lord expand your territory. Amen. Pastor Asari from Ashanti, Ghana, Africa.
Well, sir, if you need healing for any kind of disease, sickness, infirmity, why don't you order the Messiah book, and the word is going to heal your faith. Now, when you read the Bible, it's going, if you read enough of it, you're going to gain faith enough to be healed of anything. And the Lord has, because the word of God tells you that you're already healed. He provided healing for us and salvation for us over 2,000 years ago. And all you have to do is just believe and receive that which he has provided for you way back then. It's already been provided. You just need to receive it. Now, it doesn't make any difference what's wrong with you, if it's a headache or if you've got body pains everywhere, rheumatism, cancer. You say, well, God cannot heal. He made your human body, and he can repair it. He made the human body out of a piece of ground. It's just amazing that dirt like us can walk around. That in itself is a fantastic miracle, and it's held together by the Spirit and by his word. And when he decides that it's over with, or if we decide when it's over with, is when we expire, our human body, and then our spirit goes somewhere. It goes up to the throne and either to heaven or to hell. And it's up to us. We really have to take control of our life. We have to discipline ourselves to do what the Lord said, because if we don't, we're going to go to hell and the lake of fire. But if we do, and so we have a will, and we can will to do the will of God, or we can just will to just do our own will. And if we decide to do that, well, you're in a lot of trouble, because you never know when you're going to go out to meet the Lord. We have a lot of friends that have just been dying. My brother died just the 28th of December, 2005. And now Lou Rawls, one of the people that H.B. Barnum, who is our music director, he did his recordings for him, and Barry White, and so many other people in the entertainment industry. And all over the world, they're dropping dead like flies. People get killed. They get in their automobile in the morning, ready to go to work. They get on the freeway, and they wind up in a casket. So the best thing to do is get a hold of the Lord and start reading the Bible so that you know how good he is and what he stands for and what he absolutely hates. And you think that God is all love and that he loves you unconditionally. This is untrue. God loves those that love him and keep his commandments. He says, I am your friend if you do everything I say. So you can't have God as your friend if you're abusing the privilege, if you are not doing everything he says. Because if you don't do everything he says, as I said before, then your disobedience is the same as witchcraft. So you're a witch, and the Lord is no friend of any witch. Believe that. Okay? And now I'm led by the Lord to have Sharon come forth over here and to read some parts of chapter 4 and 5. I've been discussing the first part of chapter 4 is where he's talking about the sower going out to sow. So let's start reading right away.
Verse 1.
Yes, verse 1.
And he began again to teach by the seaside.
Now he's teaching. In other words, you go to school to learn what to do when you go out. You go to driver school to learn how to drive a car, but you don't just learn, you got to get out there and drive the car, right?
Right.
Okay, and so when you start learning how to be spiritual, you learn through the Bible the things that the Lord, he says, now these signs will follow those that believe, that will lay hands on the sick and afflicted, will raise the dead, will cast out demons, and just all the other things. And you're going to be hearing some of those in this chapter. These two chapters. Go ahead, keep reading.
And there was gathered unto him a great multitude.
So when you get out of school, though, after he gets done teaching you, then you're supposed to put what you've learned into action. Just as if you went to driver's school, then you start driving the car. Okay, now when you learn all about the spiritual realm, then you go out and start winning souls, and you start demonstrating God's power in and through you by healing people. I mean, I can call out at any given time, if there's a horrible storm, and I tell you that I can have call on my Father in heaven and he will stop the storm. He does it every time. Have you not observed that?
I sure have.
Amen. And if I want it to rain and there's a drought and sometimes I don't even notice, because really I'm not a farmer. But when I was in prison, it happened. And when I was in the halfway house, it happened. Somebody says, why don't you tell the Lord to turn it off, you know, to turn this heat, this drought off, because our cattle are dying and everything. So I said, all right, I will. And so I asked the Lord, and it started raining immediately both times. And it was raining so hard that they were asking me to have the Lord turn it off. Okay, again, so, you know, people are never happy. You just can't please them at all. Okay, go ahead.
So that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Verse 2. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. Verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Verse 4. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up.
Yeah, in other words, if you don't respond to the gospel, if you don't believe it, well, no matter how many people preach to you, you're unresponsive. You're not receiving what the Lord says. And so Satan takes everything that we're preaching or teaching to you, and you don't receive it. You don't respond to the gospel, and therefore you never can have immortality. You can't have eternal life. And the worst part is that you're going to spend eternity in hell, in the lake of fire. It will be there when you wake up, but it'll be too late then because there's no exits in hell. You can't get out of there, and it's horrible. Okay, then what?
Verse 5, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth.
Yeah, see, these are impulsive people. These are four classes of people that the Lord is talking about. These are the impulsive ones. Oh, we get eternal life. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to go to the lake of fire. Oh, we receive it, Lord. We receive it right away. But they don't have any spiritual reality in them. They're impulsive. I mean, you could offer them an ice cream cone and they'll grab it. Or you could offer them a beefsteak and they'll take anything. They're just impulse buyers. But they impulsively also leave the Lord very quickly. But go ahead and finish that.
Verse 6, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away.
Yeah, because it was just impulsive with no spiritual reality in them. Oh, you see people huffing and puffing. Oh, they're so excited about being saved. And then the next day or two, you see that they went off into the sunset. And there's no marvel because the Lord told us of these two classes of people, the unresponsive and the impulsive, those that have no spiritual reality in them. Okay, and then go ahead, keep reading.
Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit.
Because these are preoccupied people. The thorns and are the cares of the world. They catch people up, and they get caught in the thorns and the briars. And they just they get caught into TV, or a lot of people get into cartoons, or they just think everything must be pleasant. Let me tell you something. Either you're going to go to war against Satan in this world, or you're going to spend eternity in hell, because the Lord says all of us are in a war. And if you think that it's you're escaping the war by just wanting to be catered to, or to just see things that are pleasing to you and to avoid all confrontation, well, then there's no possible way that you're going to get into heaven. The Apostle Paul stated that he fought a good fight. Amen.
Amen.
And that he finished the course fighting. And because of that, there's a crown laid up for him. But if he hadn't fought a good fight, even the great Apostle Paul that wrote around two-thirds of the New Testament would be cast into hell just the same way as all the other unresponsive people, all the other impulsive people, and all the preoccupied people. Those that are sown among thorns, that there's so many diversities, so many people get so bored, they need to have something new every day given to them. They need to go to the latest movie. They have to hear the latest CD or DVD. So-and-so is coming to town. We've got to go to the fair. We've got to go to the ice capades. We've got to go here. We've got to go there. Or there's a great movie on television, let's watch it, and forget about the Lord right now. We need to relax our mind. We can't talk about Jesus all the time, but the Lord says in order for us to get into the kingdom of heaven, we must keep our mind stayed upon Him. That means on Him at all the time. And so if you don't do that, well, then you're also disobedient. And I realize that some people, you know, it just takes forever for them to be able to receive the double-edged sword, the Word of God, to that extent to where they realize that there's nothing really super good happening in their lives. Some people are filthy rich, but it doesn't bring them any happiness at all. You see motion picture stars and people that are very wealthy committing suicide. So if money was the answer, if money was the thing that brought them happiness, then why are they committing suicide? The only thing that brings you happiness and the only exciting thing in the world is to get involved in the gospel field, because I'll tell you, there's nothing more exciting than this. I realize that there's a bunch of dull of people that call themselves Christians, and I would go crazy in their churches because they're so monotone and they're so ridiculously unscriptural. But, I mean, in the real ministry, when you really have the Spirit of God living in you, there's never a dull moment. And there's always something to do, and there's always friends. And, I mean, you have a whole new family of people that are terrific. And we have a lot of fun in the ministry. It's fun, and it's action, and it's victory. Victory like you've never known in your life. I was in the entertainment business because of the fact I thought it was all very exciting in there. But let me tell you, that's the most, compared to the spiritual realm, that is the most dull record industry, the motion picture industry. I know so many of those people. I used to go in to see Webb Pierce over in Nashville, Tennessee, over his big mansion, which is right next door. It has the big guitar swimming pool there, and Webb would be sitting in his little room with this real old television set and just wrapped in a blanket down there, and his wife occupied the whole second floor. They didn't live together at all. They just lived in there miserable, and I'd say, "Well, how are you doing, Webb?" And he'd just, "Oh, it's all right, you know, just... Well, what are you doing, just watching television?" "You know, I do this every day." And they drinking booze and trying to forget how miserable they are, or they take narcotics and drugs. But in the gospel field, it's just everything is bright and rosy, and we have our minds stayed upon the Lord, and we know where we're going, and we're not worried about terrorists or violence or anything like that, because we know if the breath goes out of our body, we're right there in the kingdom of heaven. And you don't have that peace if you don't know the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And so go ahead. So he's given this parable of the four different classes of people. And again, one of them is the unresponsive ones, those that are sown by the wayside. Number two is the impulsive ones that accept the gospel right quick. And then they have no spiritual reality in them, so they fall away very impulsively. Somebody comes along and says, "Come on, kid, let's go to the fair." Like the story of Pinocchio. "Come on, don't be a square, don't go to school, kid. Let's come with me. Join the circus." Amen?
Amen.
And so there, everybody's like so many Pinocchios. And those are the ones that are impulsive. And they go along with this whatever. And then you have the preoccupied people. These ones that are sown among thorns, the cares of the world. Then go ahead.
Verse 8, "And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased."
Yeah, in other words, they're soul winners. They bring forth fruit. The Lord calls the souls that you win that were fruitful, and we multiply. And those some people bring forth one soul, two souls, 10 souls, 20. Some of us bring forth hundreds and thousands, even millions of souls. And he that winneth souls is wise, so he that winneth the most souls must be the wisest. Amen?
Amen.
Not bragging, just mentioning facts, okay? And God, who knows? I mean, you don't know how many souls the Lord will cause you to win. You say, "Wow, that's a dull life, winning souls." No, it isn't. You get to meet all kinds of people, and you get to feel the Spirit of the Lord dealing with people through you. And there isn't anything more exciting than that, than to have the Almighty God living in you, and working in you and through you, and doing his work through you. Is that really builds your faith, to feel the Lord working you around and maneuvering you in this world. And you see the souls that are won by you doing what he's leading you to do, and saying what he's leading you to say. All right, then what?
"And brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some in hundreds."
And some of us thousands and millions. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 9, "And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear."
In other words, he's talking about a spiritual ear, to hear the Spirit. Because so many people are unresponsive. They don't have the ear to hear. You could be hearing this, with your natural ears, but your spiritual ears are not picking up on it at all. Your spiritual ears are not responsive to the gospel. And so keep going.
verse 10, "And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable." Verse 11, "And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables."
Right, it's a mystery. The Lord's is mysterious to those that are unresponsive. They just say, "Oh, we don't even take the time to listen to that because it's so mysterious. They're just we don't understand spiritual things. So we don't want to know about them anyway because it really isn't true." But when you are a responsive person, you're the good soil, you know that it's true because the Spirit enters you and God starts using you. And it's such a mighty feeling. It's such a victorious and glorious feeling to know that God has actually selected you to, and is using you to do something fantastic for people. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. To Amen. Teach the gospel. And then is after he teaches it to you, then he puts you out into the field, out into the lab, and boy, you start doing these miraculous things, and that really increases the kingdom of heaven, because people say this is not normal. This sort of power resides only in the Almighty God. Okay, so the Lord is residing in us because we're the temple of God, we're the house wherein God lives, and this the power that we have is only resides in the Almighty God Himself. There is no other power than Him, because all power in heaven and on earth belongs to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And Christ is God the Son. He is God. These three are one. Jesus Christ is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you don't believe that, read the Bible, because He said He is. He says, "I am the Alpha," that means the beginning, "and the Omega." Those are the Greek words for the A to Z. "I'm the A to Z," he's saying. "The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning of all things and the end of all things, the Almighty God." Okay, so Christ is... And the Bible says that there isn't anything in the whole world that, or in the heavens, that were not made by Him, because He is the Word, and God created everything by the vibrations of His Word. When He utters the Word, there's vibrations that come in every word. When we're talking, there are vibrations. You can see it when you're in the recording industry. Vibrations are in the Word. And it's something how that the Word of God, when we preach it and teach it, it brings those vibrations, those words, bring forth life, the Spirit in some people that are good soil. Now, to the unresponsive, they're immune. They're deaf to those good vibrations. You know, we've got those good vibrations. Amen?
Amen.
We really got them vibrations. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Who was the ones that sang that? The Beach Boys? I did a gig with them one time in Omaha, Nebraska. I had a record that was number one under the name Marcus Abad in Omaha, Nebraska on KOIL radio. It was Little Yankee Girl. And I was the star of the show. The Beach Boys with Glenn Campbell were singing under me. And I remember them singing that song, "We've Got Some Good Vibrations," or something like that. But they didn't even know what they were singing. You know, but we know that we have vibrations from the Lord. And those vibrations from the Lord in the Spirit tells us what to say. And when we say it, we see souls being saved. You hear these letters coming from all over the world. And the vibrations from the things that the Lord has given me to write and to say has caused human souls to quicken, because it's the Spirit in the things that the Lord told me to say and to write that quickens or vibrates people unto eternal life. And we hope and pray that you're not impulsively receiving the Lord today. We pray that you're the good soil that receives these vibrations, and that you get hooked by these vibrations, and you just want to keep feeling these vibrations, and you want to keep feeling those vibrations until the very end, until you give up the Spirit, and then that way you're going to be in heaven forevermore. So grab on to those good vibrations. Amen?
Amen.
The words of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 12, "That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them.
Yeah, so there. Okay, then what?
Verse 13, and he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. Verse 15, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart.
So there's no way they can respond to the word. The word is telling them to come and follow me, and they don't respond to it. The word tells them, let my spirit live in you so that I can get those good vibrations to everybody through you. Because the Lord has to use human beings to get his word out. That's the way he operates primarily. Like he didn't do that through me. He came and visited me personally in that office in Beverly Hills where he came down and talked to me by the Holy Spirit. But he has sent people to me before, but I was very unresponsive because I didn't believe them, because I saw these people sinning and just doing the same things that sinners do. But when he came down upon me, I knew it was God. And then I had many visions and signs and wonders, and then finally one night he appeared right in front of me with my eyes wide open. And it was a magnificent vision of the Lord. And he doesn't look like any picture that I've ever seen of the Lord. He looks more like Steve Reeves, the muscle. I mean, he didn't look real muscular or anything, but he didn't have this great big long blonde hair. He had black hair, just like Jews do. And he had black eyes, but he was the most handsome person I ever saw in my life. And he didn't have a big beard, and he had a small crown on his head. It wasn't like pointed or anything, it was just a round, just a small thin crown on his head. And he was sitting on a velvet-looking purple chair with gold trim all around it. It looked like gold. And he was talking to me, and I've mentioned this before, and I've written a piece of literature on it, so you can have it too, free of charge. But anyway, because I want to get some more of this word in. Go ahead.
Verse 16, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness.
Like impulsive people. Oh, they're so glad to receive it. And then when they find out what it's all about, you know, that they've got to knuckle down and to start learning, and so that they can be used by the Lord. Oh, they don't want to do that. And then a little persecution comes or something. They just don't want to put up with that. So they just want to fall away. They can't have things their own way. They can't do what they want to do. They've got to be harnessed or bridled by the Lord to where they just can't do what you want. I did anything I wanted in the world, but when I found out that God was really there, I didn't mind anything that he wanted me to do. I didn't care if I had to be bridled. I mean, what choice do I have? He's God. I'm just a little human being, and God can take my life any second, every minute, any minute he wants. And so I have to be walked like, so to speak, on eggshells, very carefully, in fear and trembling, as he says in his word. Then go ahead.
Verse 17, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time.
They only endure for a while because they're impulsive. Then what else?
Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended.
Yeah, if there's anything that they, any price that they have to pay for God, for the word of God, which is spirit and life, they don't want to do it. I mean, you know, it's just an impulsive thing. I just want to take off. We have what you call the Rolls-Royce ministry. The people here in this ministry, they live well, very well. And so some people stay because of the fact that they eat better than probably everybody in the world, I'm sure. And they wear the nicest clothes, and they get to ride around in the nicest cars. And it's like they're, you know, the king's kids. But a lot of them, even with all that, they still fall away. So God's given everybody a chance in this ministry to live the good life here on earth and then to live forever in the kingdom of heaven, forever and ever in paradise. Okay, then what?
Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, verse 19, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful.
So because they're preoccupied with the things of the world. In other words, they can't just focus their mind on the Lord because the things in the world, they can see those things. But we can't be saved by things that we can see. We have to be saved by faith. We're saved by faith in the Word of God. Now, we can see the Word of God, and if you have enough sense to read it and believe it and walk in faith and learn what the Word says and then do it, then you're saved. And then you're filled with the Spirit, and then you will have life and life more abundantly here on earth. And then whatsoever you ask, you'll get it, so long as it's the will of the Lord. I mean, if it falls within the Word of God, then what?
Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Verse 21, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick?
So he likens himself as a small light. But he's like also a small mustard seed, and eventually that light is going to get more and more as the church of God, the kingdom of heaven, grows on this side of eternity. And then we are many lights, and we just keep growing and growing until the kingdom of heaven is established in this world. So it's like a little candlestick he likens it unto. Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Verse 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given.
So, you know, a mystery of God is not deciphered. It cannot be deciphered by the human mind. People have to be born again of the Spirit in order to be able to receive the mystery of God. It's undecipherable because God made it that way. You have to humble yourself before God before you can decipher what it means and before you can decipher the power that is available that God promises that you'll have if you receive His Word. Okay? So it's a mystery. The actual power and the learning of God, because you can't decipher it by the human mind. People, when you say something from the Lord told me to tell you this or that, the human brain starts tossing it around back and forth in their heads. Say, I can't decipher that. Well, that just shows me that you're not a spiritual person. Amen?
Amen.
And it's a mystery to you why God is telling you to do this or that. You're a person that doesn't receive the word. You're a person that is impetuous. You just don't want to pay the price for the kingdom of heaven. Your will is far more important here on earth than it is for you to enter into the kingdom of God and stay out of hell in the lake of fire. Okay, then what?
Verse 25, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath.
Right, so the human mind cannot decipher it, and so there you can't have it. It is not given to you because the human mind can't decipher it. But if you receive it, then it's decipherable. Okay, then what?
Verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Verse 27, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. Verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Verse 29, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Verse 30, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? Verse 31, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Verse 32, but when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it.
Right, faith grows. The more you read the word, the more your faith grows. And then, in other words, your understanding of the word, your ability to be able to decipher what the word is saying, and your ability to be able to do the miraculous things that come from having faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, I see our time is up. We're going to continue with this tomorrow. Be sure that there's a very important conclusion to this chapter, and also we're going into chapter 5 to break it down so that it's more decipherable to you. But right now, you can be saved and be able to decipher the word of God, the spiritual realm, if you will leave the carnal realm, the way of thinking, and the things that people say and do, and you can go into the schoolhouse of the Lord, where he'll teach you all the different things, and eventually your faith will be built to the extent that you can do the mighty miracles that the Lord has done. So let's start, if you would like that, well then let's start out right now by saying the prayer to the Lord that can get you involved into the Lord's schoolhouse, into his classroom, to teach you the word of God so that you can learn it to the point to where you will have the ability to decipher everything that he says, and that you'll be able to eventually have the power to be able to do all the things that he did and disciples did. And his disciples not only then, but his disciples are doing today. So right now, say to God and mean it with all your heart and soul, this prayer. Say to him, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and thank and praise the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, you won't want to miss tomorrow's possible conclusion of this message. So make sure you tune in. And until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you and praise the Lord real good. Amen.